This morning, there were a number of you that brought me words and songs. There was quite a few, and the direction was going in different directions. So who of you that came and shared with me this morning still has that burning in your heart? You still feel you need to share that now to the congregation? Debs, David, Tristan, Anae, Sana, anybody? Anybody? I'm not just going to weave it in this morning. Deb's come. Deb's hand is up. Something you really feel pressing that you still need to share with us before Keenan preaches this morning. Son is whispering at me. Just hang in a moment. I'm older, son. I need to hear you. David, right. Okay. Ladies first.
I saw a picture of a mat next to a bed that was worn out, and I felt like the Lord desires for us to be a people who desperately seek Him, that almost the carpet next to our bed would be worn out from our prayers. It's a heart posture on the whole Lord's heart at the moment.
Dealing worship, I've had just Psalm 23, the three first verses, and it's just, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And this third verse is, He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. That thing of He restores my soul. And this morning, the promise is just that the Lord, only He can restore. It's like Deborah said, that worn out carpet. Only He can restore.
Amen. Okay, wonderful. Keenan, you can come up so long. I'm going to read just a small, I know it fits in with what Keenan's going to say this morning, but yeah, I felt this really strongly on my heart. I felt the Lord want to say this to us. It says, Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that your faith is being tested. Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And then the scripture that just popped out, it's kind of like, sort of, it's there, but I'm like wondering why it's there, but it says, and if you need wisdom, ask your generous God and He will give it to you. I just want to highlight that this morning. I know what Keenan is going to be preaching on, but I just felt these two scriptures. I just want to read that and just remind us in our trials and in our things that we face in life that we have a generous God, and you are invited. You are personally under invitation to ask the Lord for wisdom this morning. Amen.
I can't preach without a stand. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'm quite overwhelmed this morning. Just in worship, as I looked across the room, I just saw beautiful people. And sometimes I think I'm overwhelmed, because I want to encourage us this morning that, do you know the depth of intimacy that the Lord has called you to? Do we realize the freedom that we have in Jesus to approach His throne with boldness and know Him, and that He would know us? And as I looked across the room, I was just so encouraged to see people giving themselves in worship, tears rolling down their faces, and just in awe and wonder of who He is. You are compatible with God. And even where you are in your walk with the Lord now is but a taste of the glory that we will see on that day when we stand face to face with Him. And if I can in this life maximize my pleasure in God, then that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And that's my encouragement for all of us, is that we would find a way to die to ourselves, to die to the passions and the desires of this world, and that God would be our treasure and our prize. And that we would delight ourselves in the Lord all the days of our life. That is the call for the Christian. Is that we would delight ourselves in the Lord. Amen. And that's not what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. What I want to speak about this morning is something that's a little bit more weighty. And I'm going to try to deliver it as lightly as I can. And as we've been speaking the past couple of weeks about fan versus follower, in my conversations with some of the saints, I realize that there's an area that we as followers of Jesus need to have a good understanding and grip of. And so the title of my sermon this morning is, We Follow Even Through Suffering. We follow Jesus even through suffering. So I want to just read something that as I was just meditating on some scriptures and just thinking about what is suffering and what is God's plan when it comes to suffering for us as the Christian. You know, in our day and age, there are theologies going around that God doesn't want you to suffer. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to have a victorious life, that you should reign in this life, that nothing bad should ever happen to us. And I believe that scripture shows us the beauty in how God uses our suffering to make us holy and to make us more like Jesus. And therefore, a theology that promotes that suffering is not part of God's design is a false theology and robs the Christian of a great privilege in being made more like Jesus. And so I want to read the following. I wrote these thoughts down. When it comes to suffering, when we consider our lives and the world we live in, we are starkly aware of the fact that we live in a fallen and broken world. We are faced with the reality and effects of it daily, whether it is physically, emotionally, or mentally. All of us are faced in one way or another with what we refer to as suffering. Am I right? Often our response in times of suffering reveals a part of ourselves that comfort and prosperity does not achieve. More than that, it reveals what we believe about God, as well as the genuineness of our claim to dependence on His character. All of us can sing, "You are good," when we go to bed with a full stomach, or when we are able and healthy. But can we declare that truth with the same fervency in the midst of financial ruin, the loss of a loved one, or when things do not go according to our plans? Many people, including Christians, are surprised by suffering, which can lead us to adopt a distorted view of God, of faith, and of suffering. This highlights why we need to have an accurate theology of suffering. Does God intend for us to suffer as His people? And what does our suffering achieve? These are some of the questions we may be faced with as we think about suffering. Now, I cannot say for certain for each of you the fine detail of why you go through some things in your life. I believe, and we had an awesome conversation this morning at the sound desk before the service started, I believe that God micromanages the universe. That is how involved God is in the affairs of man. I do not believe that God is an anticipatory God. In other words, I do not believe that God is sitting around waiting until something happens and then intervenes to do something. I believe that God is never caught unaware. I believe that He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and that He is in control and sovereign over all of His creation. That is the God who I believe the Bible shows us to be. And so God is never caught unaware. And everything that you're going through, God knows. And He's got a plan and a purpose for those called according to His plan and those who love Him. So I want to talk about four areas that I believe on a macro level, on a bigger picture, we're not going to talk about specifics in your life, but on a big picture, what does God intend to achieve? And what is God's purpose for us as His followers, not as His fans, as followers? What is His purpose for us through suffering? And so the first point that I want to make, if you're making notes, the first area that I believe that God wants to achieve and the purpose of suffering in our lives is refinement. Refinement. Romans 8 verse 28 to 29 says the following, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." And so it's clear from the scripture that God wants to transform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the eternal purpose of God, that Christ would be glorified in and through all of creation. This is God's plan for our lives, is that we look more like Him, that we look like Jesus. 1 Peter 4 verse 1 to 2, I love the scripture. This verse hit me in the middle of my eyes as I was considering suffering. It says, the title of this is Stewards of God's Grace, which I found really beautiful to see that God would use suffering as a means of grace. Have you ever thought about that? We ask God for grace. Lord, give me grace to go through certain things, and then God gives you suffering. Have you ever contemplated and thought that maybe this is part of God's grace for our lives? That's a beautiful one. Listen to this. This is how the grace works itself out in the life of the believer. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, there's our captain and our example. He Himself suffered. And so we are promised suffering elsewhere in Scripture, that we will suffer as the one who has suffered in our, that also suffered. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For this is beautiful. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So in our process of sanctification, big words, in our process of being made holy and being made more into the image of Christ, God would use suffering as a means to purge sin out of our lives. And so when we go down on our knees and we say, Lord, I want to be free from this area of sin in my life, God will give you suffering. Verse 2, so as to live, you want to live in the will of God for your life? Listen to this. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. And if I had to ask by show of hands across this room, who of you want to live in God's will for your life? I think that's all of us. Embrace suffering. See it as God's way to wean from you the desires that this world has to offer. The passions that this world, every single day of our lives, want to lure in front of us to lead us astray and lead us away from God. And if that's not enough, let me hit you with another one. 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17. Oh, this one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. And so God will use suffering as a way to make us more like Jesus, to make us look more like Christ, to refine in us the image that He has birthed in us when we are saved. On the spot, I think of an analogy, or I think someone asked Michelangelo, when it was Michelangelo that made the statue of David, right? And they asked, how did you envision to carve out David, the statue of David, and Michelangelo's response was simple. I simply chipped away what was not supposed to be there. And this is how God would use suffering to refine us, to wean out of us the things of the world. And the Bible is clear and says that the friendship with the world is enmity with God. So if you choose to indulge in the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, you are actively making of yourself an enemy of God. And God will use suffering to free us and free our hearts from the enticement of what the world wants to offer us. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Okay, that's refinement. The second thing that God wants to work in us through suffering is reliance. Now, how many of us have heard this saying before? This is a bumper sticker or a t-shirt, a slogan that we may have seen before or heard before. God won't give you more than you can handle. Amen? Hallelujah. God won't give you more than you can handle. You know, the problem with these punchlines and these quotes is that sometimes they are not based on the truth of what the Bible teaches. So they sound good on the ear, they look good on t-shirts, but they're not true. So what does the Bible say about being given hardship and struggle? And actually, if you look at that scripture, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, it refers to temptation. It doesn't refer to suffering or struggle. It says that God will not give you, in terms of temptation, He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. That's not the same thing as suffering. What does the Bible say about this indeed? It says in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8 to 10 the following. And this is a killer blow to that quote. I'm sure that once they've read this scripture, they will no longer put that quote anywhere. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8 to 10, it says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." I don't know about you, but that sounds like suffering. "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." And this is beautiful. "But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope, and He will deliver us again." Powerful. Reliance on God. For the follower of Jesus, nothing pleases Him more than our dependence on Him. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what is faith? It's dependence on Him, trust in Him, trusting in His ability and who He says He is and what He says He will do. And God is not so much interested in what we can do for Him. This is something that I remind myself often about. God is not so much interested in what we can do for Him, rather than how fervently we cling onto Him. It's not about what you can do in preaching or worship or ministry. It's on how much can I rest in Him and rely on Him and cling to Him and depend on Him. That is what pleases the Father's heart. And from that place, He will ask you to do certain works. It's not the other way around. And maybe you are in a situation right now where you are asking God to deliver you from a certain circumstance. And God is wanting to teach you how to rely on Him in a deeper way. 1 Peter 1 verse 6 to 7 says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus." There's this peculiar thing that God is showing us in Scripture, that our faith being refined will result in praise and glory when Jesus is revealed. Do not scorn the grace of God in your life in the area of suffering. Ask Him about it. Speak to Him about it. What I am not saying is that we are just accepting whatever comes across our way. There are some battles that we need to fight in prayer and fasting and trusting the Lord for deliverance. But there's also this area where God does not just want to change. I know this sounds like a cliche and that you may have heard this. God doesn't just want to change your circumstance, but He wants to change you in the midst of your circumstance. And let us allow the Lord to do that thing, to depend on Him, to rely on Him. It pleases Him. Number three, so we've spoken about refinement, reliance. And the third thing that God wants to do, maybe in the area of suffering, is repentance. Hebrews 5 verse 8 to 9, it says, although He was a son, this is Jesus, He learned obedience through what He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. And here's our example. Jesus was made perfect through suffering. He learned obedience through it. Now maybe in our walk with the Lord, there are certain areas where we have been disobedient. Maybe we have made decisions outside of the will of God for our life. Maybe we have not inquired of Him before we've made certain decisions. And we get ourselves into difficult situations. And I want to say this morning, either way, whether your suffering is, what's the word I'm looking for? Whether your suffering is self-intended through unwise decisions, or whether your suffering is unexpected, because you've, in this case of Job, whether it's expected or unexpected, God is still working something beautiful in your life. Now that doesn't mean that we can continue in our unwise decision making. It does mean that God wants to bring us to an area of dependence and repentance, where we turn away from being self-reliant and trying to figure things out on ourselves, by ourselves, and actually depend on Him to lead us. God will use suffering and even the consequences of our sometimes dumb decisions as a means for us to repent and turn back to Him. So do not try to figure it out and, yeah, this, I made this. And just turn to Him and see the process that He has you in. And furthermore, on a global scale, when we think about the whole world, suffering is God's plea to a fallen world. I want to quote C.S. Lewis. In his book, The Problem of Pain, he says the following. He says, we can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And so suffering is God's megaphone to get this world to wake up, listen, and repent. Number four, and I like this one. Suffering in the life of the believer is used to work through a radiance. So we've got four R's. We've got refinement, we've got reliance, we've got repentance, and then we've got radiance. 1 Peter 4 verse 12 to 14 says the following. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Sometimes we feel like that, eh? But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Sometimes the suffering that comes upon us is because we reflect something of who God is. Everywhere in Scripture, if you go and look at the account where it speaks about suffering, we see a combination between suffering and glory. There's glory attached to suffering. I don't know how it works. This is how the Bible speaks of it. But there's something of radiating glory that comes through us when we are hard-pressed through suffering. There's a fragrance that gets released when we are put under pressure through suffering. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 to 18 says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." And so we need to ask God, in the midst of our circumstances and in the midst of suffering, we need to ask God to change our perspective. Change my eyesight. And sometimes God will give you the understanding, and sometimes He will explain to you why you are going through certain things, and sometimes you will be silent. In those moments, do we trust in His character and nature, whether He gives us an answer or not? That is the test that God would put us through in refining us and making us holy. It's like, "Lord, take this cup from me. Yet not my will be done, but your will be done." Even Jesus in the garden uttered those words. And so what I felt for us, I'm coming to land. I'm almost done. As I was preparing, I wanted to remind us this morning that suffering is not causing, and I want you to hear this, and if there's one thing you write down this morning, remember this. Suffering is not causing a certain response, but it is revealing what is already there. Suffering is not causing us to respond in a certain way. It is simply revealing what has always been there. And I was reminded of the parable of the sower. And I'm going to read it for us. Matthew 13, verse 18 to 23. It says the following. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, and in another 60, and in another 30. So how do we as followers, not fans, because it's clear from this scripture that fans fall away. That's a slogan. Fans fall away. Followers persevere. I like that. Fans fall away, but followers persevere through suffering. And the question is, when trials and tribulations are at our doorstep, do we worship or do we wail? Do we have confidence in the God who we serve? Or do we crumble under the circumstance? It's only revealing what was already there. And if in this moment your circumstance, and I'm not trying to make light of suffering or anything that people go through, but we also need to have introspection in ourselves that when these things come up and there's a certain response that comes out of us, it's a diagnosis that maybe something deeper needs to be checked. And Clarence, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when he was here, spoke about our speech revealing if we have lost sight of God's will and plan and destiny for our lives. And so do an audit of your life. All of us. Do we complain or do we praise? Do we rejoice? Or do we, why God? Why me? And I want to close with this. It's one of my favorite songs and also one of my favorite scriptures. And Job, the life of Job. After losing sheep, servants, and sons, declares the following. In Job 1 verse 21 to 22, he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And the next verse, in all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. And so in our response this morning, as we audit ourselves, and maybe this is a longer process, it's definitely not something that we can just do in one morning and have a response time. And audit your life, audit yourself, audit your speech, audit the posture of your heart. What is suffering revealing about my faith and my trust in the nature and the person of God? Abram went to sacrifice Isaac, and scripture says because he was confident that God was able to raise him from the dead. He was confident in the character and the nature of God. Are we confident in the character and the nature of our God? Or is it just nice songs that we sing? Beloved, I want to encourage us. God will put tests on our path. How do we respond in those moments? So maybe I can pray for us. Maybe we can close our eyes. I don't want us to be discouraged in this. I believe this is an encouragement from the Lord that as followers, we should expect these things to happen. And that we would posture ourselves on the rock, who is Jesus, to keep us firm. To keep us confident in Him. That He would be glorified through our life. Whether it's through prosperity or persecution, that He would be glorified through our lives. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Thank You for Your kindness, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy towards us as Your people, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for Your provision, God. I thank You for the fact that You are involved in our lives, God, on a micro level, God. Not just on a copy-paste level, God. You are involved in each one of our lives, God. Intimately, Lord. You know the hair on our heads, God. For some, maybe no hair on our heads. But You know us, God. And Lord, I thank You that You've got a plan and a purpose in everything that You do in our lives. For those who are called according to Your purpose. Those who love You, Lord. Those who have been predestined, foreknown, called according to Your great purpose to make us into the image of Your Son, Lord. I thank You, God, that nothing is by chance, Lord. That nothing is a coincidence, Lord. And that You are working a beautiful thing into Your people. Lord, we want to say, have Your way, God. Let Your will be done in our lives, God. Wean from us, Lord, the love and the passion and desire for sin. Wean out of us, Lord, the desire for things of this world, Lord. That You would be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name. And then, with every eye closed and every head bowed, maybe you sit here this morning and you've never thought about what your purpose is. Or you have thought about what your purpose is and you've come to the conclusion that it's not satisfying enough. And just like we've got certain tools intended for certain things, the creation of mankind was made to glorify God. That is your purpose. That is God's design for every single human being that walks the face of this planet, is that you would know Him intimately through eternal life. And that you would embrace the gift of salvation that He has purchased for you on the cross through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the perfect man, the template, the perfect one who did what we will never be able to do. And so this morning, I want to ask, if there's anyone here this morning that you've never bent your knee and submitted your life and said that Jesus be Lord and Savior over me. If there's anyone like that here this morning, maybe you can just, by indication, just raise your hand. Is there anyone? There's one person. Thank you. And then maybe you're sitting here this morning, and as I was speaking, you recognize that in your heart, you have, in a sense, cursed God. It's a strong word. If you're honest with yourself, you are upset with God. Why, God? Why me? I'm not going to ask you to stand in any way. I want you to do business with God where you are. Repent. Put your faith and your trust anew in the one who is perfect and has a plan for your life. And then I want to challenge you to reach out to a comm leader, reach out to someone that you are accountable to, and open up your life. Be vulnerable. Ask for perspective. Ask for input. If you've made unwise decisions, repent from it. Ask for perspective. Ask the Lord to put people around you, and He has put people around you, to help you. Let us encourage one another to endure. This is a long race to the end. It is not a sprint. It is a race that requires endurance. Let us encourage one another towards the end goal. That we would stand in glory, rewarded as good and faithful servants, as we trusted in Him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Your face is all I want to see. Your love is all I want to feel. Your presence is where I want to be. Your face is all I want to see. Your love is all I want to feel. Your presence is where I want to be. Holy Spirit, I wanna be close to you, Holy Spirit. Draw me near to your heart, Holy Spirit. Give me more of you, Holy Spirit. I wanna burn just for you, 'cause Jesus, you're worthy of all praise. Jesus, you're more than enough. Jesus, you're the one we're searching after. So Jesus, come and fill us with your love. Jesus, you're the one who set me free. Jesus, you're the one that I will live for. Jesus, you're the one we will lift high. 'Cause Jesus, you're more than enough. Holy Spirit, I wanna be close to you, Holy Spirit. Draw me near to your heart, Holy Spirit. Give me more of you, Holy Spirit. I wanna burn just for you.
Amen. Now that for me is the perfect response of what you should be when you're facing trials and tribulations and difficulties, distresses and sufferings. It's a place of on your knees before the Lord, and that's why I felt I wanted to do it at the end of the service. Let your heart posture be that. Let that be your heart posture when you're facing what the Lord is doing in your life. I wonder if we could stand and just have the worship team. We're going to end with the song this morning. Noah, won't you?